Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Time to bring you some stories from other parts of the world. Jonathan DeBurka Butler joins us once again to do just that. Good afternoon, Jonathan.
Sean, how are you getting on?
Right, so this first one, I suppose it's not... there are many countries in the world where cannabis is either decriminalized or legalized. And this is quite a wide-ranging study of the effects of all those different legal approaches.
Yeah, so yeah. It was done, the chief authors of this were from the University of Bath, right? So there was a professor of psychology there, a man by the name of Tom Freeman, who's the main author of this particular study, which the findings of which appeared in the Lancet Psychiatry. Was it on the 18th of June, a few days ago anyway, right? And what they did, I had a look at the Lancet just to see, get an overview of it. I didn't read the whole thing, but it took 104 different sources, right? So it was kind of a report about lots of reports and what it had garnered, right? Yeah. And what they were looking for essentially was they were examining how numbers of people taking the drug had increased its potency and the rates of psychosis and how this had changed between the years 2000 and 2025. Okay. Now, the reason they were doing that is because obviously a lot has changed in the world of cannabis in those years, right? If we go back to, let's say, we'll start with Uruguay, right? Uruguay was the first country in the world to fully legalize cannabis in 2013. And indeed, in this report, they kind of use this as a kind of a totem, I suppose, right? Mm. Because they legalized it, but it's strictly controlled in that country, right? So only registered adults can buy the drug at a pharmacy. You can buy it through cannabis social clubs, as they call them, or you can grow it. But the strength of it is restricted, okay? And who can get it is restricted, and it's very tightly controlled, okay? And the reason I'm saying that this was kind of the center point, or Uruguay was the central example, is because when they looked at other places like the United States and Canada, and then they compared them to other places where it has been decriminalized but not commercialized, they found there was a big difference, right? So just to go back on that, in the United States, as you know, and in Canada, it has been legalized for the most part, right? It's 33 states in the United States. Yeah, 33 states in the United States and pretty much all of Canada, I think. But it's been legalized, but it's also been commercialized, which means that it's being sold to make a profit.
Yeah.
Okay. So what they found here was that in those countries where it's being sold commercially, the number of users has gone up. Okay. The potency of the drug has gone up and they're seeing more mental health problems as a result. Right. Okay. Now, if you look at it, so for example, there was some research that was done by an organization called Truveta Research, and they found that between 2019 and 2020 throughout the United States, okay, that emergency department visits for psychosis went up by 46%, okay? Wow. Another study that was done in Massachusetts found an increase in psychosis as well, and the numbers of teenagers who were coming in for psychiatric treatment, okay, and the levels and the amount of THC that was found in their urine, so case-by-case basis, had gone up from 5% of the people who were coming in to 20% of the people who were coming in. Mm. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So so the more people that were coming in, more of them were showing up with THC in their urine, effectively.
Yeah.
So it seems to be the case, or what these guys have concluded, is that where it is decriminalized, it's not having much an effect. It's not increasing the numbers or the amount of people who are going in with problems around psychosis or mental health. But where it's sold commercially, it's through the roof.
Yeah. But in Uruguay, the first country to do it, where it is legal but highly controlled, have they seen which way has it gone?
No, it's
there?
It's gone the way of the decriminalisation side of things. So it's remained fairly calm.
Yeah, that's so interesting.
Obviously, as a study, like it's these guys are promoting it and sort of saying, look, this is, you know, potentially a way forward for governments to have a look at it. You know, they obviously they always qualify these things as saying, oh, well, we need to look at this a little bit more. But what we can see so far is this is what's happening. And that might be the basis on which governments, you know, make up their policy in the coming years.
Yeah. And I suppose because when it's commercialized, it's advertised.
It's commercialized, it's advertised, and it's more potent. I mean, one of the things that really shocked me about the United States was that the levels of THC or the percentages of THC, you know, it's controlled in gummies and it's controlled in other, in the way that if you consume it by eating it.
Yeah.
But if you smoke it, the THC, there's no limit on it, apparently, which I found very surprising.
Yeah. India we're going to go to next. Now, this is a story about an exam paper leak, and they've banned Telegram, the messaging app, as a result of it.
Yeah, so Telegram was banned. Is today the 22nd or the 23rd?
Today's the 23rd.
It's 10 years since Brexit. How could I forget? Woo! Sorry. Yeah. And I need to come back to that later. Yeah. But anyway, so yesterday the ban stopped, right? So there was a temporary ban from the 16th of June until the 22nd, right? And this was off the back of an exam, a paper that was apparently leaked on Telegram, okay? It seems that they're getting the blame rather than the person or the persons who leaked
did it.
Yeah, exactly.
Or maybe they can't locate this person because it's Telegram.
Could be. It could be one of the reasons for it. So this is a huge exam, right? And the mind boggles when you talk about India and numbers, right?
Yeah.
So this is a... it's called the NEETUG Medical Entrance Exam, right? And I think you have to sit for it every year. This year, 2.3 million people sat for this exam, right? In something like 7,000 exam centres throughout the country. So you can imagine the logistical nightmare that occurred when everybody had sat the exam, the papers were corrected, and then all of a sudden they had to cancel the thing because of this particular leak. So there were some people in the Department of Education, or whatever you call it there, that were a little bit miffed by this. So Telegram took the hit anyway. They were annoyed and they took the Indian government to court on Friday, but they lost their bid to overturn the government order on the ban. And the judge in the case basically said that the Indian government were empowered to issue directions for blocking the public access to Telegram because it was in the interests of the public vis-a-vis the exam.
Has this happened on Telegram before?
I don't know if it's happened to Telegram before, to be honest. There was a dispute last year between which was well publicised, between X and the Indian government about X not taking stuff down that they were supposed to be taking down. And I think this was essentially the same problem that the Indian government had, right?
Yeah.
They said, look, you're not doing enough to take these links down and you should be doing more. Telegram came back and said, oh, we've taken down over 900 links. We're doing loads. The Indian government is lying, trying to make us look bad, and it's a cover-up. But they didn't win in the end. And I think what's interesting about it is some people are looking at it, of course, from the freedom of speech point of view and how easy it is for the Indian government to shut down this platform, even though it's got over 150 million users in India.
Yeah. No, but on Telegram, what they're saying is that there were links to websites that had the exam papers in advance.
I think that's how it works. Yeah. I don't know how Telegram works, to be honest with you. But
WhatsApp.
It is like WhatsApp, but it's more open and more public. I think on WhatsApp, you're limited to like 1,000 people in a group, whereas Telegram is 200,000, as far as I know.
Yes.
So, I don't know how it worked, but anyway, they didn't do what they were supposed to do according to the Indian government.
I assume all these people have to take the exam all over.
They
again.
Did. Well, you see, sorry, this was why they banned it for that week.
They reset
the exam on the 22nd. I think only 2 million showed up for that. 300,000 said, I'm not going again.
Right. Pakistan is going to abolish its period tax.
Yeah, it's called a period tax. It's not really a period tax as such, right? It is a tax. It's a sales tax, okay? essentially, that they have on everything in Pakistan, right? So, for example, if they were locally made period products, they'd incur a sales tax of 18%, and that's what they're getting rid of, okay? This was announced by the finance minister, Muhammad Aurangzeb, who said he was going to remove the sales tax, that 18%, because he felt that it was the right thing to do. Now, the reason this really needs to happen is because commercial period products are not widely used in Pakistan, right? So most only use cloth or homemade alternatives because they're prohibitively expensive in Pakistan. You have to remember, you know, a lot of people are very poor there, right? So there was a campaign launched, I think it was last year, by two lawyers, 25-year-old Manhur Omer, and she's a woman, and a 29-year-old man by the name of Ashan Khan. And they brought a case last year in a bid to get sanitary products zero rated, right? And they got a petition together, and they got a lot of people behind them on social media. So it appears that that campaign has been successful, and they're removing this particular tax. The problem is that there's a 25% customs tax on period products that come in from outside.
Oh, and whether those, and that's probably most of them.
And that would be quite a few of them, all right. Yeah. So there's still a bit of a fight going on there, but most people who are campaigning for this are relatively happy that the first tax at least is gone.
Okay, well, they're making some progress there. Right, Uganda we're going to go to next. Now, this is, you better explain this. This lawyer has been arrested for treason, even though they were involved in prosecuting treason?
No, so he was defending an opposition figure. So Uganda, right, the basic thing that we always have to remember about Uganda is Yoweri Museveni.
Yeah.
He's been in power since 1986, okay? Yeah. He doesn't like opposition figures, right? The last fellow who ran against him, there was a presidential election in January, and we've mentioned the main opposition figure, Bobby Wine, a young guy, used to be a rapper. He's since left the country, okay, because he fears for his life. And that's not the first time he's had to do that. This particular opposition figure is a man by the name of Kizza Besigye. I'm sure we've spoken about him before. He used to be a pal of Museveni's. He actually used to be his personal doctor, but they had a falling out in around about 1999, 2000. And on several occasions, this guy Besigye went up against him in presidential elections, which, of course, we've already found out Museveni doesn't like. Okay, so Besigye left the country for a number of years and was in Kenya, would you believe, when he was kidnapped and was brought back to Uganda to face treason charges. Mm. Now, his lawyer is also a politician. He's a former mayor of a big town there. I don't think it was Kampala, but a lawyer, a politician, and his name is Arias Lukwago. And Arias Lukwago was disappeared a few days ago and all of a sudden appeared before a magistrate's court in Kampala looking visibly weak a couple of days after he had apparently been arrested in his home, okay? And he faces charges of failure to report treason, which is presumably the treason that he knows about that he's defending the other guy from. Does that make sense?
That makes sense. I get you now.
It's absolutely ridiculous. And it seems that the person behind this, the person who arrested him, is a man by the name of General Muhoozi Kainerugaba, who is Museveni's son. He's a 52-year-old, and he is the one who has been effectively anointed to take over from him. He is a vicious character. He is the type of person who has no problem going on to X and boasting about the amount of people that he's tortured and the opposition figures that he has kidnapped and so on. And even in this case, he posted on X that he was proud of all the hurt and pain that he was going to inflict on the criminal Lukwago. Ridiculous scenario.
That's extraordinary, really. So that means that essentially that they can bypass the criminal justice system on anything that they don't like by just arresting the lawyer representing them and say, yeah, they are guilty and you know about it, so we're going to arrest you for that.
I can't argue with that at all. Yeah. Yeah, it seems that way. But it's been like that for a very long time in Uganda.
Yeah. And there's no international pressure that can be brought to bear in this kind of thing.
I don't know, Sean. Yeah. I mean, it's always, you know, it's always condemned. These things are always condemned. Yeah, even the presidential elections were condemned because there were, that took place in January, because there was opinion polls which suggested that Bobby Wine was actually going to do okay in these and that he might get close, but didn't really come within a sniff in the end.
Yeah.
So that's the way of it. And, you know, Museveni, he's been there 40 years. And as is always the case, I don't know how many times I said it, as long as you have the military behind you and you control the military, you control the country.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, you'd wonder, but the poor people of Uganda, yeah. It's not like
that. Because it should be a really wealthy country, you know?
Yeah.
And everybody should be doing well, but it's not.
Right, South Korea we're going to go to finally, and Starbucks has closed all its stores for half a day.
Yes,
why?
They did this yesterday. It was such a bizarre thing. It's a story that's been going on for a few weeks, actually. It started in May of this year, right? The 18th of May is the anniversary every year of what's called the Gwangju Uprising. Now, you've got to remember that, you know, not long ago, South Korea was a dictatorship, okay?
Yeah.
It
yeah.
only stopped in, which is remarkable when you think about it, 1987 is when they got rid of the general there.
Mm.
And then the following year, they had the Olympics in Seoul, which was crazy stuff. Mm. But anyway, and, you know, they were pretty hardcore when it came to dictatorship. So at this, during the Gwangju Uprising, which effectively was a protest march that went wrong, 165 civilians were killed. Now, that's the official figure, but most people think it was many more than that. Now, unfortunately, Starbucks chose that particular date to launch what it called its Tank Series, which is a series of several tumblers that they claimed would hold huge amounts of coffee in it. Now, they were called tank tumblers, and they called it Tank Day on the day of the anniversary of the Gwangju Uprising.
Okay, yeah.
So the timing was very, very bad indeed, and they have suffered as a result. It got so bad that the president actually got involved. So this is the relatively new president, Lee Jae-myung, who expressed outrage over this inhumane and disgraceful conduct. The CEO of the company, well, of the franchise holder, I should say, that runs Starbucks in South Korea, he had to resign on that day. So they decided, because they've been losing so much money, that they'd bow down, show a bit of humility, and they closed all of their stores right across South Korea at 3 p.m. yesterday, and they brought everybody in, including the chairman, for re-education, during which they would receive education in historical awareness and social sensitivity through watching videos. So that's one way to say sorry.
Using the word re-education is somewhat sinister in many other contexts. The story we started on,
okay.
Darren in Galway says, about 7 years ago, I was in California, got speaking to a cop. He said there was a spike in 18 to 25-year-olds under the influence of cannabis getting into trouble. But his biggest concern was that cannabis has become a front for cocaine drugs gangs to use legit cannabis shops and grow farms to launder their cocaine and other activities by legally selling the cannabis.
Gee.
So, yeah.
There's never a right way, is there?
No, there isn't, no. So what should we look out for in the next week or so?
So first of all, I did refer to Brexit a minute ago.
Indeed,
I have to apologise because I said last week that it was today when it should have been today that
it
I was referring
today.
To. So apologies for that.
Yeah.
I was getting ahead of myself, getting too excited, obviously. So that's today. And then Thursday, I'm staying in Britain. Frida Kahlo, there's a Frida Kahlo exhibition, if you want to nip across the water, opening at the Tate Modern. So that might be something worth looking at. Saturday, Budapest Pride. Now, why am I talking about this? This is because you might remember last year there was a big fight over Pride in Budapest. The government, which then was under Viktor Orban, didn't want to have it, but the mayor of the city insisted that it go ahead. The mayor won out last year, and I think it's going to be an even bigger party this year.
I imagine it'll be enormous.
It'll be enormous, but they'll all need to put plenty of sun cream on because it's going to be very hot right across Europe this week. So plenty to look out for.
Jonathan, thanks a million.
As ever,
Jonathan DeBurka Butler there.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.